Anyways, good night. We're back 4 minutes into it, and there was my wife. See, last time she come down here, I got a brand new camera. Of course, you know, they deliver it. She said, here's a box. Slings it in here. It lands right on top of my MacBook, you know.
Right,
I'm like, wow. But anyways, we was to Bobby Bear, the good country. And of course, we got to go through, you know, Old Town Road and all that stuff right here with Billy Ray. But, you know what he tried to do.
Yeah.
But still, that's part of it. I mean, Winona, you just keep on going all the way down your way.
Right, Patty Loveless, Loretta. I mean,
we could go on and on.
Yeah,
I'm talking about right here. For you all that don't live around this area on US 23, we're talking about within an hour drive.
Sure. Yeah.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Almost two. You get down to Pikeville, and it even goes on beyond that. Of course, you know,
well,
the guys that traveled that road. You know, Ralph. I mean, that's Ralph's Highway. You might as well just name 23 Ralph Stanley Highway because he's traveled it so much.
You're talking about Ralph Stanley, and then some of the current guys that are up and coming with Tyler Childress and Chris Stapleton. I mean, just with an hour drive either way from Earl Thomas Conley down south.
Sure.
We could sit here and name them all day long.
And talk about them. Talk about what they've accomplished and the songs that everybody who's listening is going to remember, you know?
So, who would be a few that people might not have heard of that's come off this road that you was talking about?
Musicians. Jason Carter agreed at County.
Jason Carter,
I mean, one of the best fiddle players that there is, you know, Del McCurry Band, and he's playing with the Traveling McCurrys now, which is the two sons of Del McCurry and Jason and some other guys in the band. But I mean, the guy's just off the charts, you know, top notch fiddler, you know, that definitely needs some recognition. Let's see, other musicians. How about a banjo player in Louisa, Brent Pack, played with Hammertown. Brent is a guy that's, I don't know if you could be a better banjo player than him. And he's a young guy. I remember I used to play basketball with him when he was in high school. Of course, I was a little older than him, you know, 10, 12 years older than him. But man, he could just destroy a banjo, you know, at 17 years old. And he just went on to become a really good, you know, top-notch banjo player. Should be getting some mentions for some IBMA awards and stuff like that. Of course, he just had carpal tunnel surgery on his hand, so... You know, that's set him back, but I hear he's coming back well. Let's see, some other guys that... John Rigsby, he's from out Sandy Hook way, fiddle player, played with Ralph Stanley all those years, plays with Little Ralph now. He's recorded on three of our CDs. One of the greatest fiddle players that you could ever want, you know, especially to record with and to work with in the studio. Talented.
What's the deal?
I think it's in our water.
It's just in the blood.
The funny thing is like I said, I'm not from here. I'm from Sandusky, Ohio. So I was born and raised where there was no bluegrass music.
And now you're here and you and your son tearing it up.
I'm here and, you know, I moved here when I was 20, 21. You know, I could play a little bit of guitar whenever I left up there. Nothing to brag on. And it wasn't long, you know, I actually got my first cassettes, because that's what we had then. Cassettes, you know, then, and of a few old timers in bluegrass. And then I, you know, moved here, and like when I heard that banjo, I was like, I want to play banjo. So I went to Mac and Dave's, if you remember Mac and Dave's over there.
Yeah, I did.
And I stayed there all day and jewed on a banjo. Got them down to the price I wanted and ended up buying the banjo that I'm still playing today. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, I spent a lot of money on an instrument spent $1,800 on an instrument that I had never tried to even play before, because I just knew I was going to learn to play it. And I did, you know.
And, you know, I know of some people, which, you know, what sounds good to you might not, you know.
Sure.
A little different. But that play at church and stuff.
Sure.
And I think, wow. Now, you know, no one hears about them people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're church, but the talent is still here.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, you know? I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, you just, it's a shame that true musicianship doesn't get rewarded in all the places. Well, sometimes people got to work. Some people can't just run out there and try to make it in music and those kind of things. But it's definitely the people that you see, the big people, ain't necessarily the most talented people.
Well, and you know, I was talking with Kyle Gross the other day. He's a up and coming hunter. He's filmed for Drew Brothers. You probably heard of Drew Brothers if you heard of them. If you watched any hunting shows, you'll see them. And but we got into the conversation of, you know, who's the best hunter?
Well, right.
You know, how can you judge that?
Sure.
Okay, is it the guy that can spend $100,000 and go on a hunting trip. Nothing against that guy.
No, right.
I'm going to have a guy on here that does that next week.
It's not a level playing field.
But, you know, not taking nothing from that guy. Is it the guy that, the weekend warrior that kills bucks like he's on public or private land, or the guy that can afford a 1,000-acre farm? You cannot.
Yeah.
But you know who you see. Of course, he's going on leases. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's who you see on TV. And when he gets there, there's got to be a buck there for him to shoot. And he's gone. Not that he's a bad hunter, but, you know, they throw that around, and they probably do it in the music world as well.
Sure.
Who's the best? Well, I mean, how can you say who's the best?
Right.
Anyways, we'll just keep going with this right here. But that's off. That's aggravating. I'll get that fixed. So we're still going. Thank goodness I kept that on.
Good idea.
I'll be able to straighten it right up. So I think it's kind of what you was getting to right there.
Yeah. You don't. I mean, it's really about opportunity, luck. There's a lot of luck involved, I believe, in it. You know, mm-hmm. There's many musicians have just, how do you put it, had the right person guiding them.
Mm-hmm.
Luck of the draw, or have put out many, many albums and never had no success, and all of a sudden, 15 years into it, all of a sudden land something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a right place, right time, what somebody's ready to listen to. I think it's a little harder today in one aspect to break through to be a big time act, because everything's owned by radio stations and record companies. So they dictate. So the stuff you hear on the radio isn't the best stuff. It's what they want you to hear. And obviously there've been studies that have been done that, repetition. Mm-hmm. How many songs do you despise when they come on the radio but you know the words?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's that repetition thing. So they actually make successful people. They don't really it's not a it's not really based on that. It's based on they chose this guy to be a winner, so he's going to be a winner,
right?
And that's how music works.
The same way in the hunting world.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in the hunting industries, that's what I was pretty much getting to. It's kind of the same deal.
Yeah.
Well, in the hunting side of it, it's who has the gift of gab and go out there and shoot a bow or a gun, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
that's where it goes.
Personality has a lot to do with
it. Personality, that's
what I'm saying. if you're kind of a sour person, you know what I mean. It's especially at the small levels of music. You know, if you're not very personable, I'm sorry, you're not going to do very well.
And Sturgill, I bet, Simpson. Imagine.
I don't know him personally. I know his music, but I don't know him personally. But
what I hear about him, of course, I liked his music.
Yeah,
but I guess he's just a.
Yeah, see, that's hard.
Have you heard those things?
I have not. No, oh. But I haven't. I like his music and listen to his music. Although it's kind of a ripoff bluegrass style, hillbilly bluegrass style. It tries to country music, a lot of bluegrass songs. So he's kind of taking a cheating way out, but it's still good. I like that sound.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't wish it wasn't bluegrass songs that he chose to do that. But he doesn't do it all. He doesn't do everything that way. But a lot of stuff I've heard has been that way.
Well, I think he's trying to move on to the rock or do something now.
Well, he did over this COVID bullcrap. The Ryman, I believe it was, he put together an all-star bluegrass band, and they did a whole bunch of his bluegrass music. And supposedly those musicians, they all have recorded all those songs for up and coming CD release. So I think he's really trying to actually do straight up bluegrass, according to that last show that I watched. And that's been a couple of months ago. That was a free concert that they put on TV or on YouTube. It was on YouTube where and he had some really talented musicians there with him, bluegrass musicians, and they went on, to say that they're either in the studio doing a bluegrass album. So I don't know. He may be trying to do several different things at one time. I'm not real sure.
Yeah. What's that on the country music side of things? It does seem like they're bringing back a little bit of the old school, like we was talking about earlier. Yeah. Tyler Childress and Chris Stapleton and Cody Jinks and those type of people.
Yeah, they're getting back. They're not getting a lot of play on the big radio stations, but they're starting to get some play, like on the Legend stations and stuff like that. They're actually putting new music on there. And people these days, we're figuring out we don't have to be force-fed things. Mm-hmm. That's what in the internet now, we can go find what we like. And we don't have to like everything because the radio tells us we've got to like it or we've got to listen
TV.
To it.
Or the TV, yeah. So I think it's given us a lot of freedom.
It has.
And maybe that's why we're having the problems we're having right now
for
with
sure.
them trying to this little tug of war deal
yeah.
with our freedom.
Sure.
And we'll get on to that. But, you know, we're talking about music. And, of course, yesterday we lost Charlie Daniels. I mean, you know, fiddle player, whatever you want to call it.
A lot of those greats are at that age, you know.
Yeah. And,
he's a big loss. He's a big loss not only to music, but to living right and being what it means to be an American. It means to be patriotic and to love your country and to love your neighbor, you know what I mean? He was one of them guys that you want to look up to, but, yeah, he's a sore loss, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you do the Twitter or not, but I followed him on Twitter. And, of course, you know, he'd be on there chatting back and forth with Donald Trump, tweeting with him. Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Donald Trump Jr., you know, he left a tweet there today talking about Charlie Daniels. So it tells you right there what type of guy that was.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, he's well-respected, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. So, yeah, there's several country music treasures out there that I dread the day of passing that are you know, Dolly's one of them. I mean, what a impressive human being, you know, that she's been, you know, to all the, set aside the great music that she's done and played through the years, you know, just the person that she is and stays out of politics and has managed to be, you know, a shining light all these years, you know, what a treasure she is, you know.
Yeah, she's sweet, no doubt. So, I have to say, I just get tore up about all this country music talk. Just the history right here where we live.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
This is crazy.
Yeah, you mentioned Earl Thomas Conley. I had been recording here a couple weeks ago, and I recorded Holding Her and Loving You. And I don't know if I'll ever release it, but I just get bored every now and then, and I'll actually go in the studio and just start recording. And I'm kind of tooling around with an album where I might record all the me playing all the instruments myself, other than drums probably, but I don't know. But just when you said Earl Thomas Conley and, of course, Portsmouth, you know, he's such a great singer.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
See, my grandpa, he was neighbors when they was kids with Bobby Bear.
Uh-huh.
So I have to tell this funny story real quick.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I should tell it or not.
You need to tell it. Now everybody's going to want to hear it.
I know, everybody's going to want to hear it. But it's just, so anyways, my grandmother and some of the other women from over in that area, they love Bobby Bear. And if you ever heard of the Red Barn on 32 in Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the Red Barn, well, he'll go up there and play quite a bit. And, or he was. Anyways, they went down to Nashville to see him. And he was sick. Well, they end up finding out where he lives. And so, you know, I'll just leave it at that. Y'all can figure it out. But I'll just tell you, he was sweet as can be.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let the rest of the story, you know, use your imagination. But he was sweet as can be. And, you know, of course, my grandmother, she was in the car. She's like, oh, my gosh, we're going to go to jail. But he was just calm. Right. And he, you know, he knew.
Yeah, you could, you know, at that time, you could probably, I'm assuming when she was young.
Well, this is here just a couple years ago when they went down to Nashville.
Oh, well, but still,
but of course,
still
when my grandpa was young, you know, they grew up together.
And, yeah.
And he knew the names over in Pedro and and stuff.
Right.
You know, there's somebody depriest over there, and I thought that was pretty funny. So I grew up a Bobby Bear fan. You know, so that turned me into a country music fan. I'd seen him come on Hee Haw and all that stuff. See, here's another good show. It's gone.
Yeah.
I loved all that stuff.
Yep.
But
I hated Hee Haw when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, I hated it. Mom and Dad would want to watch that on Sunday evening, and you know, you couldn't do anything, and you had to watch what they was going to watch because you only had one TV.
Yeah.
And I hated that show as a kid. But
well,
now
you said Northern
Ohio.
Yeah,
and now I love it. A lot of times I get bored and I'll just YouTube it. You know what I mean? Or pull it up. I actually have the DVDs of the show. You know, and I'll watch it, and it's just amazing. All the talent that would come through there, and the people that actually worked the show. You know, I didn't. And you're young, you don't have an appreciation for that. But now that I'm older, you know, I have a real appreciation for that show.
Think about the comedy of that show and the women. You know how they dressed
so beautiful.
They hot, man.
Yeah, they was,
especially back then. You know.
Oh yeah.
I know that's.
Oh, that was cutting. That was cutting way back then.
No doubt. That was big.
Oh, them women were so I mean, you even compare them to the women of today, and those women definitely could compete.
So, you know, Rick, we was talking earlier about just the current situation, the things going on. You know, you can't get past it. And I haven't talked a whole lot about it on this show, but I think it's a good opportunity.
Well, you know, I'm highly political.
I know you are all about that stuff. And it's just like... We know what's going on. It's easy to see the game.
Sure.
I mean, I could see this coming. for a long time. I want to throw a couple things at you, just my theories, and you know, just get your opinion of them. One, the sports. Okay, whether you like sports or not, you know, anyone out there, if you don't like sports, whatever, sports has been good for this country as far as racism, for
sure,
one.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? I mean, has that not knocked down so many walls from Jackie Robinson to, you know, boxers way back in, Muhammad Ali, and for their religion as far as Muslims with him, all kind of things. And I know it's been imperfect and stuff like that, but they're attacking sports. They don't want America watching NASCAR. They don't want us watching football, basketball. They're trying to turn us against sports. Why would that be? You think about it, it's they know what strings to pull. Let's kneel to the flag. Let's do what we done down here with NASCAR. They want to wipe sports out in America for a reason, in my opinion.
You mean to take it out to where there's no viewership, or to take control of it?
No, I don't think they want to take control of it. No viewership. I don't think they want sports for the reasons of what sports are so good for America, is what I was telling about. They bring us together in a lot of different ways. You know, the big deal right now is black and white, right? I mean, when I grew up, I wanted to be Michael Jordan. I mean, you know, a lot of white kids may never even know a black person in certain places, see it in sports.
Yeah.
You know, and you see Walter Payton when I grew up. Are you kidding me? So no matter what anybody else sees when you're a kid and you're growing up, you're wanting to mimic these kids.
Yeah,
I mean,
you do.
Look at everyone wearing $200-$300 shoes. That's because of sports, basketball.
Right.
Little white kids wanting to be like them, or Asians or Mexicans or Latinos, whatever you want to call it. So let's wipe that out. That brings them together. Do you see where I'm going with that?
I
might not be wording it right.
I understand your premise. I guess you're thinking that there's a concerted effort, you know, to eliminate it. But I would argue the point that to take us away from sport, if you took sports away from us, then our focus is going to move to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're thinking right, but I think that they don't want to take our attention away and to actually see what they're doing. They want to keep us over here. So if they can keep us interested in sports and the little bitty conflicts that are going on in sports, we're occupied. And that's what the silent majority keeps getting done. We keep getting occupied somewhere else. While all these things are going on over here, we keep going on about our business over here, being distracted.
So you're just saying they're doing those little things just for distraction?
Yeah, they're going to keep us distracted.
Okay.
They're going to keep us distracted. I believe that there's a concerted effort. I believe that there's an agenda. I don't see how you could deny that there's an agenda.
Oh my gosh, how could you?
You know, but how to get there? You know, obviously they're playing their ways. But I think sports has been a good thing. It's they need to keep us. Like I said, and sports is a distraction. We've used sports as a distraction for many years to not really see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people know way more about sports than their politics does, and that's a bad thing.
Exactly.
You know, we need to focus on what they're doing over here, because each day we're losing our liberties. You know, and they're causing strife. You know, and but it's hard to say. I mean, your point's well taken.
See,
you know
I see
what
you're saying for sure.
Yeah,
no doubt. It's just.
Well, you have to think, too, that you would have to think that the sports are involved in the game, in the gamesmanship that's being played on us. And, you know, with the NFL and the NBA, I can definitely see that. Major League Baseball has kept its mouth shut pretty well. Kudos to them. I might actually – I'm not a baseball fan, but, you know, I may start watching baseball fans just because they – keeping their mouth shut, because that's what you're supposed to do. Stay out of stuff, you know. You don't. For every person you make happy, you're going to piss another one off. So why don't you just shut up?
I was talking about Michael Jordan. I never remember him ever talking politics, but I've noticed here lately they've been picking on him. Talking about him on sports shows, dogging him about all this. You know, but and they bring that up. They feel like he should stand up.
Yeah, he wants to. Yeah, because he could think they could sway people to the way that they want.
He's not going to do it.
Hopefully, he keeps his mouth shut and he goes down in history as being the Michael Jordan that we recognize, as opposed to LeBron, who I would venture to say 70% of the population can't stand.
He's a
because he's on the wrong side of every issue. He speaks before all the facts are out. He's a moron.
Oh yeah,
he's a moron.
He was talking about how
great. I refuse to watch. Actually, I don't watch any NBA anymore. And you know how bad that is for me, being a basketball coach all these years, that I can't stand it. I just refuse to watch it. I refuse to support.
Well, LeBron and Stephon are the two.
I don't even know.
That's when I quit. He's just as bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just, everything's not racial, LeBron.
Well, yeah, and LeBron was all about China, and the next thing you know, the COVID comes from China. You don't hear nothing about China anymore from him.
Yeah, I mean, his mouth opens and he shows his ignorance on these things. Just go play basketball. Like Jordan did. Go play basketball. You know, worry about who you're going to destroy that night. Concentrate on that and leave everything else to the people who know.
People are that ignorant of communism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have friends that have no clue. Or they think, well, they would never do that to us. They will.
Oh, absolutely. It's they're trying. They're trying. I think a lot of people don't know that they're working towards communism, but they are. You know what I mean?
I mean, how could you not see that now, though?
Well, God, there's a lot of dumb people. there's a lot of people who don't know what these terms mean and these things mean. Obviously, they don't get taught it in school. You don't get taught what these things mean in school. Mm. Even liberals and conservatives and libertarians, people don't know what those definitions. This comes up all the time and just political discussions that I get into, that people don't even understand those basic terms. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to have a conversation when you can't have even a starting point. But they definitely, the schools don't teach, you know, that I know of, what communism, Marxism is, socialism, what conservatism is. These are things, you could teach these things without even an opinion in them. Mm-hmm. And it, obviously, so nobody knows what they're. So then you have to be motivated to learn what these terms mean and how they have been applied in the past and where they stand today and how many people out there, one, take the time to do that, want to do that, and ain't distracted by something else. Mm-hmm. You know, that and in the meantime, our liberties keep getting ticked away from the right and the left. Mm-hmm. So
maybe they're just throwing this gas on the Black Lives Matter just for a distraction as well. They could care less about those people.
That's obvious.
Democrats have proved that for years
because
they won't put them, you know, give them a job.
Yeah, sure. No.
I'm talking about people in the inner city. I'm not just talking about one race. Yeah. I mean, when you have that many people, you know, that's, dependent on the government to feed them and house them, that's just...
Well, look at inner city life, inner city schools compared to us small town folks and how we get along and how we make do. It's just a world of difference, and it's what liberalism to conservatism, you know, the ideals that get played out every day, you know. Obviously, we have some liberalism here in our small town of Ashland, but, you know, the majority of us are conservatives, and majority of the politicians have to lean conservatism, you know, to a degree. But you take a large city, which they're all falling apart from the inside out, and it's liberalism and that has been at it for 50, 60 years, and it's leading to their demise, which is going, I think at some point, and I think Trump's done a pretty good job of pointing it out, that, you know, keep voting for that. If you want some change, why don't you try something a little different? Stop voting for what you've been voting for all these years. And he's making some headways. I really think he is.
Even as biased as the media is, you know, for the left, we can all still see what's going on in these cities.
Oh yeah,
you can't even hide that.
The people in the inner cities are starting to see it. You know, and you know, shame on the Republicans for not trying earlier, for thinking that they cannot get the inner city vote, and shame on the Democrats for never helping the inner city when they did get the votes. So,
well, I'm Trump all the way, but there's some bad Republicans.
Oh,
and when he's talking about draining that swamp. And Trump even mentions it all the time. We have some Republicans we have problems with. It's pretty clear what's been going on. Everybody's had their hand in the cookie jar.
Oh, yeah.
On both sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially the establishment Republicans and Lindsey Graham.
I was going to mention.
I mean, come on. That's
the only bigger snake than him was John McCain.
And they
were two of the same cloth, you know what I mean? They Lindsey Graham's talking out both sides of his mouth,
yep.
you know, and his ass at the same time, you know. And but the people of South Carolina, or South Carolina, North Carolina, I can't remember, you know, just keep voting him in, you know.
Yeah, it's obvious, ain't it? I mean, Trump knows.
Well, you know.
But how do you play that card?
What's killed me about Trump is you want to drain the swamp, but most appointments by him have been, he's appointed from the swamp. And obviously there is a problem within the White House with leaks that are coming from people that are in the swamp, but he continues to not fix the leaks. And I don't know
if he thinks intentional.
That's what I was going to say. There could be an intention behind that, mm-hmm. you know, but a lot of leaks have caused him a lot of trouble, and it's caused him to have to be over here talking about what some moron has leaked or lied about coming out of the White House when he could be toting jobs, inner city jobs, more money in our pockets, cheaper electric bills. I can go on and on and on about his accomplishments. A border wall that is being built that the media won't tell you about. And no new wars. I mean, ain't that great? I mean, I'm sick of wars. And Republicans and Democrats, but mostly Republicans are hawkish on the wars. Well, you know, we don't need to be over there. You know, we need to be focused on America.
Yeah.
Lob a few bombs whenever somebody gets out of hand, because we got that capability, you know what I mean, and destroy some real assets over there, or lob a bunch of bombs whenever they won't stop and stay safe. But so Trump's done a whole lot of good things, you know. But some of the things, I mean, I'm a Trump man, but I'm also, you know, a thinker, and he's not been perfect. No one's going to be perfect, mm-hmm. but he's definitely been the right man for the job. I was a Rand Paul man.
Right,
because I'm more libertarian than I am anything, and you know, obviously when Rand got out, you know, I was the Ted Cruz man because I liked Ted Cruz before, and I wasn't a Trump man, but Trump has proved me wrong, and he has far exceeded my expectations. I was worried about Trump being a little on the liberal side on a lot of social issues, which made me scared of him. I was afraid of him and domain. These are things that people never talk about. You know, a businessman.
He hung with those type of people.
Yeah.
And he knows them.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that was my worry, you know what I mean? Because I feel that's a blatant violation of our liberties, you mm-hmm. know, to seize assets for something, some other gain, you know, that they're your assets. They're your assets. You bought and paid for them, you know. But there was a lot of issues. But like I said, He's far exceeded my expectation. He's plain spoken. He talks too much sometimes, but definitely I'm real happy with him.
Well, I even think some of the things he does when he talks like that, I think that's intentional, because he knows we've been silenced.
Yeah,
and I think he does that to say, people, you're free to talk. You have free of speech. Say what you want.
Yeah,
I feel like he does that.
And say how you want.
Say how you want. I don't care. Yeah. I'm going to say it. I'm your president. Yeah. People's like, oh, the president shouldn't talk like that. Well, we've been silenced. I mean, seriously, when you think about it, you know, before he got in there, I was like, man, you know what? I've even been doing that, staying quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not allowed to comment on this or speak my mind or my opinion on something.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's done that. I mean, it's different being respectful.
Sure.
But when you're getting there, getting run over constantly by, you know what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
That's a bunch of baloney. And he's come out, you know, I didn't think George Bush Jr. was a very good president about, you know, some of the things that he did.
I liked him at first, and then now looking back, in comparison to Trump, who, you know, Bush with 9/11 and the Patriot Act, how many liberties that we lost, which has caused the police to which is really caused the more of the police state and emboldened and empowered the police to violate our civil liberties more and often. Now, I'm pro-police, okay?
Right.
But I am pro, as a police officer, stay off my civil liberties. And mm-hmm. they violate them constantly. They right. violate they're constantly, the police officers are. But it's also because we have a public that doesn't know what their civil liberties are.
That's a big thing.
And you need to educate yourself on what your civil liberties are when you come in contact with a public official.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they can't walk on your civil liberties. But, mm-hmm.
And you know how tough that is. You know, I brought this up before.
These should be taught in school.
They should be taught in
this
school.
This should be come right along with your civics, but they're not.
I feel as, okay, on a way smaller scale than our whole country, when I was chairman over a union,
uh-huh.
you're talking about 100 men, whatever we had on the, you know, the other side there. Okay, just 100 guys, and you have a little small contract book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your committee guys, me, my two committee guys, we know that contract. Of course, the company knows the contract. You try to, you know, be transparent with the men, and they want to, well, someone said back in the 70s, this is the way we did it.
Yeah.
Someone said back in the 80s, this is the way we did it. Well, let me show you your rights. These are your rights.
Yeah.
They don't know their rights, even at that small a scale.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would just spank them and spank them and spank them and just abuse them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
sure. Kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah, you have to.
So you have to educate yourself. But we would have a few guys that would just get the contract for themselves.
And actually read it?
And actually read it.
What, two or three out of 100?
You know, and a lot of times they didn't, you know, some people just didn't understand it. It's our job to educate them if they come to us, but, you know, we had to work. But I'm just saying, I just feel like that's the way people are. Just, I'm going to wake up today and everyone's good people and no one's going to do something bad to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that ain't the way this world works.
Yeah, but it seems
like. But they try that. I mean, people try to live like that. And like I said, I don't think some people don't care. I mean, they don't care until it affects them directly. You know what I mean? And I understand that. I mean, life's full of, you know, you got to work, you're raising kids, you know, you got to get kids to ball practices and get them to school. And, you know,
you don't have time for
you
it.
You don't, it, you know, but
you shouldn't.
But we have to as a society and us silent majority. And we have to educate ourselves, and we have to start banding together, or we're going to lose the country that we love. Mm-hmm. And we're already halfway there, and it's because we don't know anything, you know, and we don't take the time to do it. Although, I think a lot is getting woken up right now.
I
watch my Facebook feed, and, you know, I'm not a big Facebook guy or whatever, you know, I don't believe in it too much. I mean, I'm on it, don't get me wrong, but... I really like to watch it and judge the tenor of what's going on, because you can kind of tell through the posts where the country's guiding. You know, if you get a decent amount of friends and you can watch the post being posted, you can kind of see, well, I've had so many folks that are offended over the Confederate flag issue that, now I flip on Facebook and go through my timeline and I see tons of Confederate flags being posted from people that you wouldn't. I mean, little old ladies that I'm friends with which is nice to finally see the ladies getting political and saying, hey, enough is enough, you know, because most of us, it's us boisterous men, you know what I mean, who blather. But we need the ladies to step up and make a stand and speak out, you know. And I think we're finally seeing that. And then the first time I've ever seen that, I have a bunch of ladies on there that are constantly posting stuff about their rights and what they believe in, and that's really a positive thing that we're heading in. I think we're getting woke up right now. I think we are.
Well, you're talking about the history and Confederate flag, and of course they're all about tearing these statues down. I mean, they go up there and, you know, graffiti all over Abraham Lincoln. They have no clue.
Yeah, yeah.
What Abraham Lincoln did.
No. They have no clue what the Civil War was over, first of all. I find it really amazing that people, you know, you just take what you learn in school. Sure, it had some dealings in slavery. I'm not going to take that. But it was a states' rights thing. And it started 20 or 30 years before the war actually took place. You know, but you got to be a historian. You got to also... not everything you read is true. You have to come with that. You know, you have to use a little bit of common sense. But, you know, for me, you know, a lot of folks are offended by the Confederate flag. Okay, that's fine. Just don't tell me I have to be offended by it.
Right.
Because when I see the Confederate flag, you know, I'm a Northerner, but my family was all Southerners. My dad moved north to work on the railroad, you know, before I was born. My oldest brother was born here. Me and my other brother were born there. But we were all, you know, we're from this area. And so, you know, that Confederate flag means to me, that's hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
It's living life close to the land. It's also, I have a rebellious streak in me. If you push me, I'm going to punch you.
Right.
It's just automatic for me, you know. If it's grandma's gravy and biscuits when I used to come south.
Mm-hmm.
When we come down here, it's the smell of the mountains, how they smell different you know, from the flatland up there to here, I can smell that difference. I always could smell that difference as a kid, you know. Maybe it's Ashland Oil I'm smelling, but either way, you know, I could smell that. And it's going to church on Sunday, being rowdy on Saturday night and going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Politically, what the Confederate flag means to me is it's a state's rights issue. It's a rebellion. It's the state should have more rights than the federal government.
People have no clue.
Yeah, that's what it means to me. I mean, it may mean something different to you. Someone who's offended may see it completely different. But that's what it means to me.
You know?
It means family to me. It means we're a tight unit as a family. It means my uncles and aunts and my cousins, and they're all important to me. You know what I mean?
You know the South Carolina basketball coach, Frank, I can't remember his name, but he's... I think he might have been Puerto Rican or something. I'm not sure, quite sure. But they tried to get him. Of course, he's South Carolina coach.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to get him going on the Confederate flag because they knew he was a Puerto Rican or whatever. I might not be right about being a Cuban, whatever. But he said, "Well, I had, you know, just whatever. If someone wants to fly a Confederate flag, you know, I'm probably not going to go down there and eat dinner with them." But he'd be welcome.
He said that's their right.
He said that's their right. Sure. That's their right to do that. Yeah. It's nothing to me.
Yeah.
You know, but they was trying to get him going.
Right. Yeah.
And just throwing some more or less race bait out there.
Yeah.
Thinking he would take it because of where he's from.
And a lot of these coaches have to take it because their rosters are populated with mostly colored folk. So they go after them particularly to get a response because they want to box them in, which is wrong.
I had a lot of respect for him saying that.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure any guy that stands up, you know, and doesn't take the bait, says what he means.
But they thought because he wasn't, you know, I guess we're purebred whites or something.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
But you know, I looked at my genealogy. My gosh, I'm not even a white guy. I'm Polynesian and Jap, so I don't know what to tell you all.
Well, I had a discussion. I have a friend that I went to high school with. She's a colored girl, and I had posted something. I can't remember what it was, but it ultimately come down, about Irish slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And she was basically saying that the Irish weren't slaves, that they were, you know, wasn't even compared to black slavery. But it was. You know, they were taken out of their country, dispersed all across the world, not just the United States, and worked as slaves. Now, some ended up being indentured servants. I won't go into the whole history lesson, but obviously, point being is blacks don't own the rights to slavery, to being the only slaves, mm-hmm. as Irish were slaves. Obviously, the Jews were slaved in slave labor in World War II.
No doubt.
The Chinese who built the railroads were slaved, and the blacks. So all of us have been, all of our ethnicities had been slaves at one time. The American Indian destroyed, you know. And my brother had chimed in, and I had never thought about it. He had chimed in on the conversation, and he said something about us being English, Irish, and Indian, because that's my background.
Right.
And it really dawned on me, but if I wanted to play the...
You can't play
the
that card.
Sympathy card, well, I'm Irish. My Irish lineage was slavery. My American Indian was just decimated part of my life. And, of course, you know, so... You know, if I wanted to go down that road and use it as a crutch all my life, I could have certainly done it too.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have done me no good because I'm full of white privilege, but...
Well, yeah. we was talking earlier before we come on, you know, you could take the four or five worst things of me or I could you, and it'd look pretty ugly. And that's just what they do with America.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we go out there and we'll see what's going on with the Black Lives Matter, and then we'll see one... dirty cop do something terrible to a guy, you know, no matter what. I don't care if he was on crack or meth or whatever, he didn't deserve to die. We know this.
Yeah.
And you know, I see some people say, well, he was a crackhead. Well, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, he has a right to live.
Yeah.
And,
sure,
and get whatever, but they just take the nastiness and they show it. We're all here. We're talking about history. We all got here from an ugly past. I mean, I don't care what color you are or whatever, it's ugly.
But the whole world has an ugly past. If you choose to look at its ugly past.
That's what I'm saying.
It depends on what you want to see. You know, do you want to see what we've accomplished as man? Or do you want to see where we have failed as man? and look at us as a whole, because obviously we've failed, but obviously we've conquered a whole lot and we've come a whole long way to, you know, especially, you know, everyone in America has an air conditioner.
Yeah.
You know, we have prospered so well in the modern world, and it's a shame that there's certain places on the globe that are still third world countries, mm-hmm. and they still can't, you know, they still can't function properly. They still can't get a government. They still can't stop killing one another, genocides, and all that. And, you know, but these people don't realize, you know, you could be there, or you could be an American and be proud of where we've come and help us keep building this this great thing moving forward. But they just want to tear it down.
You know, you have opportunity in America.
Everyone.
Everyone has opportunity. There's some kids that have terrible parents, you know, that just don't get the opportunity. That's just part of it.
Yeah.
That's because they have terrible parents, not because of America.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to go as far as I wanted to go. You know what? I put on a hard hat and steel-toed boots because I didn't want to go to college. That's on me.
Yeah, well, but
that's not my fault.
But that doesn't that ain't necessarily a misstep by you.
I'm not saying it's a misstep, yeah. But I had the opportunity
sure.
to go out of high school. You know, when I was in high school, I could care less about doing anything in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just,
what, that my was my road.
It wasn't. And then when I got out, I went to Moorhead. Someone asked me to come operate. I went heavy equipment operating. I'm still heavy equipment operating. And, you know, oh, this is big money. I'm just going to do this.
Right, right.
You know, who needs this? Of course, that's for four kids and
sure.
big bills and house. But I had the opportunity. It was no one else's fault. But my, and, I mean, I'm happy with my life. I'm not
yeah.
saying that. But, you know, sometimes you just got to look yourself in the mirror, and there's where the problem is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious there's, you know, there's a recipe to at least not being in poverty, and that is to finish high school and not have children before you're married.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty simple recipe, really.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key to not living in poverty here and to getting at least a good, stable starting point, you know.
I've told my kids, you know, just from my past, and I said, while you're young, you have opportunity to choose your job.
Yeah.
Or it will choose you.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And my son's dealing with that right now.
You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. There's nothing I can do for you.
Yeah.
You can choose your job. You can have your dream job. You can get there. My daughter did it. You know, Bobby, he's doing what he took the blue collar road. And he's doing what he wants to do.
Yep.
And then Greg, you know, he's going to Moorhead. We'll see if he can make it there.
Yeah.
But I said, you've got this timeline right here that you either make it to that job or you just get pushed into a job. And that's just the way it rolls, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. My, you know, I kind of always knew, I was just ignorant enough to know that I was going to be successful, and success is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
You know, I mean, but I kind of always knew I'd be a business owner, and I realized set right out. You know, I was 19 or 20. I started my first business. I was just clean sewer drain lines,
mm-hmm.
like Roto-Rooter, and you know, I was just a, like I said, 19, 20 year old. I had just moved here, and you know, I bought the equipment. I knew how to do it because I worked for a guy in Sandusky on how to do it. So I knew how to do it. I knew how, you know, how to get it taken care of. And that first year, I made almost like $40,000. Just, that was in 93, 94, 95, right in through there. And, you know, that's a lot of money for, you know what I mean? I was not even working that much, you know. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, I took a chance on buying a restaurant, and I've not looked back since, you know.
Right.
So it's choices. It's choices. I didn't do very good in school.
Mm-hmm.
And for a slew of reasons.
Well, you know, see, right there, you didn't do very good in school. Neither did I, but you still
sure
took advantage.
Sure, I
had opportunity.
Like I said, I don't know if I was just dumb enough or just dumb luck, or you know, I was a pretty aggressive kid. I'm an aggressive person by nature, and you know, and so it's worked out. You know, not to say that I haven't made mistakes along the way, because I obviously have. You know, I've had setbacks and stuff like that, but you know, I'm pretty content. I feel like I've been a success. My children are successful contributors to society, which ought to be all of our goal. We all should be contributing to society, or at least not being a drain on society. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a content guy, you know.
Right. Oh, man, Rick, I tell you, I can't wait till November. See, November's a rut,
uh-huh.
And you know I love to hunt, but I'll be coming out of that tree stand to punch that Trump ticket, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
All day long.
That's true.
And I know we've skipped back and forth a little bit, but I have to get this out.
Get it in there.
I think in October we're going to see a lot of things unveiled right before the election. I'm talking about that swamp draining. I believe Trump's got control of this FBI now.
I hope. Oh, he needs to get rid of
it. I just feel like, well, you seen who they picked up the other day, old Epstein's sidekick.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says she's going to spill the beans.
If she don't end up hanging.
And that's
herself.
Awful. That's awful that everyone on social media, everyone in America thinks that's funny, including me. But think about where we are as a society. We're like, she's going to die.
That's true.
Is that not terrible?
That's where we're at. That's exactly where we're at.
Have you ever seen the list of the people that allegedly Clinton's just they mysteriously died?
Are you kidding me? Right.
I mean, that is a long list.
Yeah, you hate to think that anyone has that much power or control, but in this day and time, I just don't know how you can't rule it out. Okay. I think it's a stretch, but you can't rule it out.
Well, she says she's going to spill her guts.
She don't live long enough to spill anything but her guts.
Okay, I'm putting myself in her shoes. And I'm thinking, I'm dead either way. If I don't talk, they're going to kill me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm going to talk, I'm dead.
It seems like to me, if I were her, I'd just start spilling right now.
I mean, there's nowhere for her.
If you get it all the way out there, what are they going to do to you at that point?
That's what you know. I've been keeping up with, and that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
So they better hurry up and get it done. There's nowhere for her to hide. Nowhere on this world.
No.
For her to hide. Because the people involved with this is...
Yeah,
I mean, just worldwide.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that goes. We know Clinton, Hillary, she's got to take the stand. That's going to be.
Are you friends with Judicial Watch?
No, I get all my stuff off of.
You need to get all your listeners need to check out Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton. Tom Fitton is the one who uncovers all the stuff behind the scenes through FOIA requests, and he's actually
facts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff that come out in the Russia investigation and all that, and the Hillary Clinton email scandal and all that stuff behind the scenes is actually gotten out by Judicial Watch, and then they get it out and they get it out into the public, and then of course the Republicans don't do nothing with it. But he's the one who does it. You should check them out, friend them on Facebook, support them, donate them if you can. And I don't say support anybody, but he's actually doing work that Congress should be doing, but he does it all. But they actually now have Hillary, Judicial Watch does, pinned down in a deposition, under oath deposition, that's coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
So, see, forget the Republicans doing anything. Help Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend it. Like I said, they've got her, the first group to get her pinned down. Hillary's appealed it, and the appeal got knocked down, and Judicial Watch won it. So you definitely need to, you know, that's they're going to have her under oath. Now, what does that mean? I don't. In laws for me and you under oath, you know, we'd be in trouble if we lied. Laws for Hillary under oath, well, who knows? But
we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
I feel like it's going to come out. We'll see,
man. There's going to be
There's going to be some nasty stuff come out in October. I mean, you know, what would you do? If you had them, and you have the elections coming, when are you going to release it? You know, I mean, Trump has played his cards pretty good when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, I agree with you. That's what the Democrats would do. And that's what Trump would do if he could get his hands on it.
But I mean, it is politics.
The swamp's the one who holds all the information.
Yeah, the swamp's on both sides, as we talked about before.
Mm-hmm. So I've been hoping for a lot of things over this last 8 years, you know, that would come to fruition, and none of it ever has. And with a Congress and an FBI and a CIA that isn't going to do anything to help the non-establishment, it's a hard,
well, you're so
hard to get there.
You're so knowledgeable on this stuff, I have to ask you something else. Maybe it'll shine some light on something for some of the listeners. They would love to get rid of the middle class. For
sure.
What reason? Okay, so you have a low class and a high class. The low class they have to depend on the government now. Mm-hmm. Now you tax all the rich that much more. I mean, without the middle class, America's done.
Sure.
Okay, that's why there's, you know, all our Obama,
all Bush, policies are designed to attack the middle class.
And all that stuff was headed to China. We know that. Mm-hmm. Our manufacturing, my job, I had a seniority list that had four columns on it. And now that seniority list had, it went down to like a half a column mm-hmm. when Obama got in. I mean, I've seen that, physically seen this.
I can tell you as a business owner, but go ahead.
CSX, Coke plant, AK, everything just in this area. We've seen what happened after Obama.
Uh-huh.
Or as soon as he come in, shortly after him.
Yep.
Now, Trump starts pulling that manufacturing back from China. All of a sudden, we have the virus. We're all fighting over here because China owns the media, in my opinion. And you don't hear nothing about China, Russia, ISIS, and nothing over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't care. They could care less. They'll wipe their people out in a heartbeat. And they was, you know, when they was over there protesting, what, Hong Kong, they was throwing them off railroad tracks like potato sacks.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, it is.
How could you not see? How could, I mean, people's like, well, why would China be mad? Well, maybe because Trump is bringing our jobs back to America.
Oh, he's just, their recession is humongous. Their gross domestic product is so far down since Trump has been elected because of, you know, obviously all the things that are going on. And of course, the coronavirus has hurt them even that much more. It's hurt all of us that much more. But yeah.
I mean, that, I know it's just conspiracy theory
stuff. No, numbers are not conspiracies.
That's not conspiracy, but the COVID-19 just, are you telling me it just conveniently popped up at this time when jobs are coming back to America?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the policies, Trump's policies in concerning China, manufacturing jobs, the, you know, and our subject is the middle class. He has done wonders for the middle class.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this earlier, electric bills. People don't realize you're not paying as much of electric bill as you was paying under Obama. This is something, you know, a lot of people want to debate the facts of the rich and those kind of things like that. I'm a business owner and have been so 25 years. I bought my business and the other business in 97 and had straight growth of sales until Obama was elected. So every year, my sales went up approximately 10%, okay, every year. Obama hit, I went flat for a year, and then I started decreasing sales every year under Obama. Now, I can tell you why. First of all, you know, the coal industry got destroyed, which then took all the contractors away, which slowed your businesses down of manufacturing and all that because we wasn't manufacturing enough. You had Obamacare get instituted, and I have patrons that come into the store that are doctors and that are dentists, and they was telling me how much of a madness it was and how they didn't want to deal with the Obamacare. If you remember at that time, King's Daughters had so many employees. Well, over that span of Obama, you know, they lost 500 employees.
Mm-hmm.
People miss it. That's directly related to my business. You know, those people that work there, they come there. Those people that earned money from there lived in our community, spent money at my store. So straight down for 6 to 7 years. And I promise you, this is amazing. And I noticed Trump gets elected, and the very next day, the tenor of the customers completely changed. And I have had straight growth of sales, minus the COVID, okay? I have had straight growth of sales for over 3 years now.
Hmm.
And now, even with the COVID going on, we had this discussion before we went on, before we went live here, but I'm up 20% over where I was in June of last year. And obviously, that's I think has a lot to do with the things that I'm doing at the store level, you know, because obviously the COVID's just messed us all up. But you as a business owner, you can't deny pretty much 8 years of going backwards and then 3 years of gain. And you'll never tell me that, you'll never convince me that he hasn't been good for our economy.
Huh.
You can't. Your numbers don't lie. You can't dispute my numbers. They're my numbers. They're facts to me. They can't be changed, you know. Mm-hmm. And where we're at.
Everyone knows that. I mean, he's put
us to work. You have to be intellectually dishonest to believe otherwise.
And that's why they smacked us with the old COVID, and that's why they keep trying to drag it out as long as possible.
Because, Republicans and Democrats.
And it's coming back now. Well, of course, because they don't want to get busted for all their dirty deeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gee, many Christmas, Rick. We've been ranting for a full hour. That's sweet, ain't it?
That's all right.
I feel better.
Yeah.
I'll be snoring tonight.
Oh, I sleep like a baby every night because I just don't care.
Well, we still live in the greatest country there ever was.
For sure.
No doubt. It'll stay that way. I feel confident in it.
Yeah, we just need to band like-minded individuals who are thinking, are kind of thinking alike. We need to organize. We need to get together. We need to put a stop to it, you know. We can.
You know, we talked about it earlier before we come on. We all fall under that umbrella of freedom. It's that simple. I mean, if it's hard to understand, there's freedom. There's everything else. You know, you can't put the horse or the buggy before the horse, right?
Right.
You know, that old saying. And we have to protect that freedom. I mean, how could you not want freedom?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in America, anyone that's voting should want freedom. No matter what you do, you should want freedom. And we got to have Trump to have freedom this go around. Maybe next time there's a Democrat or something that's better than a Republican. Who knows? I'm just saying, it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. We all have to be focused on that freedom and our liberties.
Bad things turn good things. You know, we had Carter give us Reagan. You know, Obama give us Trump.
Yeah.
You know, when I spoke to this earlier before we went live was, you know, we all thought we were headed towards socialism when Bernie won or pretty much beat Hillary, mm-hmm. you know, in the 2016 primaries. We all know that Bernie beat her, and we thought we were all headed towards socialism. Well, Bernie lost this time. So we had the conversation over the past 4 years, 3.5 years about what socialism is, and we decided that we didn't want socialism as a country. So everybody kind of misses that, you know. So we made progress, because mm-hmm. if we were headed socialist, the self-declared socialist would have won, mm-hmm. and he didn't. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we just got to look for it and stay steadfast.
I feel better. Hey, y'all. There's your dose of, man, we've been on here for a while, Rick.
Have we?
Well, we talked a little fishing. A
little music.
A tiny bit of waterfowl, a little bit of music, and a whole bunch of politics. Y'all should be good for at least this week. We'll talk at you later. Rob Marchand.